Hello and welcome to Not a Safe Space. This is Sabrina.
And Tabby.
Hey girl, what's going on?
Not much. How are you?
I'm doing well. Had a very fun weekend. Got to spend my weekend with you, right?
Yes. Just in time to talk about episode 25.
Yeah, absolutely. Welcome to episode 25. Tabby and I hung out this weekend, so we have some fun stories to tell you guys.
Oh, yes.
We looked fucking fabulous, by the way.
Yeah, we did. I have to say, I think we were pretty close to being the hottest bitches in there.
Yeah, I have no problem bragging about it. We looked fucking great.
Yes, we did. I loved it.
There's a picture that we shared on our Instagram where, like, our makeup, spot on.
It was.
We look so good. So tell everybody where we went this weekend, because I was your guest. So you fill us in.
Okay. So where we went to was, I am part of a group called Crew of Amelie. And what that is it's basically Mardi Gras for people who don't know what that means. And actually, Mardi Gras is part of a Christian tradition. And so I'm going to give a little backstory. So Epiphany is the mark of the end of the official Christmas season, which is January 6th. And that is when the carnival season starts. And I'm sure everybody's heard of carnival, right? And then the point of carnival is to eat, drink, be merry, and you have a very great time right up into Ash Wednesday, right? Before Lent.
Right, the Catholic holiday. Okay.
Correct. So, and Lent is where you give up something for 40 days and 40 nights. So the 12th night, which is January 6th, it starts the carnival season and it grows all the way up until Mardi Gras. And I don't know if most people know this, but Mardi Gras is the French word for Tuesday fat. So Fat Tuesday is always the Tuesday before Ash Wednesday, before you start Lent.
What is Fat Tuesday? Besides a bar that sells alcoholic Slurpees, what is it?
So Fat Tuesday represents the last day of plethora. The whole point of the tradition is to indulge yourself before you have to refrain yourself. So feast before famine.
Okay.
You know, so you go, so say you're going to give up alcohol, you go out and you drink, or you're going to give up sweets, you eat your king cake, right? It's all about...
Oh, so Fat Tuesdays is about overindulging.
Yes, the whole season is about overindulging before you famine, feast before famine. So that's what it is. And like I said, it's a Christian tradition, but all faiths have really come together, especially in the U.S. So you don't actually have to be Catholic or a Christian to participate. And it's just a lot of fun. You know, there's always balls and parades and different big events. Like in New Orleans, there, it's a week. Mardi Gras is a week long, not just a day. And so everything gets put on by what are called crews, which is what I'm part of. And crews are a group of women that originally it was set out to be elite women. And they would put on the parades and the balls, and you had the masks and the fancy costumes and the elaborateness. And you had to, you still have to be invited into a crew.
So it's invite only, and it's still pretty elite. I mean, we were in DeLand. I mean, it's still the who's who of the town.
Right. It's who's who of the town, and our town is small, but we still have one.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there we were dining with some pretty powerful women, important women, important men, all of that.
Yep, we sure were. And so these women, you get together for the carnival season, and we put together the ball. So we had, like they said, we only have a crew of 180 women. We took that that arena where we had the ball and transformed it in a week. That was an empty warehouse before we got a hold of it.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
It was. And it's crazy how much we can actually get done. And we're putting on a parade for, it's called the Mardi Gras dog parade that we put on at the end of February. And the entire town of DeLand shuts down for this parade. It is so huge.
Yeah, that's awesome. And most of it is charity work. I mean, is the money going back to the city of DeLand or?
Yes. So all the money that we raise and we get from sponsorship and from dues goes back into DeLand. And we're very big on using DeLand companies and DeLand locations. And like I said, giving back to DeLand and the community.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we had a great time. So I had a busy week down in South Florida last week. I was on a business trip all week, flew in Friday, met some friends for drinks for Doreen's birthday, and then traveled down to DeLand where you and I had hair appointments and stuff waiting for us. Let me first say that so far successfully traveled down to South Florida where in Hollywood, Florida, the first case of the coronavirus had been hospitalized.
Oh, shit.
Walking in and out of people's businesses all week, shaking hands, I was grossed out. Airplanes at the airport, going through security. I'm like, as an alcoholic who doesn't drink, if I die from the coronavirus, how fucking ironic is that?
Okay, I don't want to laugh, but it is funny, but you're not going to die. No die.
Yeah. Well, you never know, right? At least in the U.S., I just listened to last week's episode where we were talking about the coronavirus, and we're not wrong in the fact that if it happens in the U.S., it's going to be the elderly.
Or the babies.
Yeah, the ones that don't have any type of immune system left, that have had a great life, and typically would die of the flu anyways, or a common cold, right?
Exactly. And, you know, you have your son to thank you for keeping your immune system strong.
So, survived, arrived to DeLand, and you and I instantly have to run and go get our hair done.
Yes, we do. And it's go, go, go.
Right. And I love that. So instantly I walk into where Tabby's had a long week.
Oh, yeah.
And Tabby's had it about up to here with her husband here.
Yeah. So
it's like every wife could have sympathized with you at that moment. Where you have a to-do list and then your partner is like making jokes about it and taking light of it. And I could tell like you wanted to fucking murder him.
There were moments and he saw it when I was sitting in the car giving him his sunglasses. I'm going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Saw you doing that. You were counting. Yeah.
I was counting.
What was that about?
That was keeping me, because I wanted to throw his sunglasses across the fucking yard and drive off.
So is that something you typically do? Do you count? Because I noticed you did that. I could hear you counting, but I didn't ask you about it.
Because I was pissed off. I was very, very angry. And I was about to have an explosive reaction.
Uh-huh.
And it was not the time or the place to have this reaction. So I was trying to bring myself down because in the grand scheme of things, all he's doing is asking for his fucking sunglasses, right?
Right.
It's not really that big of a deal, but I'm like, I gotta go. And he's like, oh, you gotta come to lunch? I'm like, no, we don't have fucking time. You're not listening. Oh, da 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 da. And he's trying to be nice about it. And all I want to do is just scream at the top of my lungs.
Right. And what I kept saying, I was like, we just have to get to 6:30, right?
Yes.
You just have to get yourself there. Up until then, it's going to be fucking crazy and wild, and we're getting ready. Everybody knows how that feels, right? It's the moment on Facebook or Instagram where your picture comes out and everybody's like, oh, you're so beautiful. But all day long, it's been a fucking...
All week long.
Yeah. It's been nuts. So you just have... I was like, just push through. You're going to get there, and we're going to have a ton of fun tonight.
Exactly. And we did. We had such a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, once we got there, it just kind of... It all melted away.
Yeah.
It really did.
So I have on here that we, let me just tell, I grew up in Virginia Beach, pretty safe area, right? We weren't really scared of anybody. I don't, and maybe I was just naive to it, but I don't remember crime or bad guys, right? I couldn't tell you what a bad guy in Virginia Beach looked like. We didn't go to Norfolk. That's where I assume all the bad guys were in Norfolk, but not in Virginia Beach, right? It's just the way I was just naive. I just don't know. So okay. Tabby and I stopped by a Walmart in Daytona and we're going to buy eyelashes.
Oh, that's right.
And right. we have to, you go past the Walmart greeter and the typical spot right. in Walmart where there's like the boxes of chips and whatever seasonal things you're walking through, there's a gate to go through. So we walk through the gate and I didn't even think anything about that part. We go to the cosmetic side and now the cosmetic department is set up where there's an independent register and only one way in and one way out. And your eyelashes were actually in a case.
Yes, a security case.
Right. So even like passing the register didn't cross my mind. The case, I'm like, all right, well, sometimes like they put condoms and baby formula in cases at the Walmart by my house because that's what people fucking steal. Yeah. They're stealing condoms and baby formula, which I feel like one should kind of keep one from the other, but whatever. I'm not judging.
Well, maybe they're trying to steal the baby formula because they didn't get the condoms the first time, and so now they need both.
Right, right. So it dawned on me when we had to leave, and I was like, oh, well, we have to buy your lashes from this lady. Like, she's not going to let us out of this section. So I'm like, all right, so people are obviously stealing a lot of makeup from this Walmart.
Or eyelashes.
Yeah.
$1.60 eyelashes people are stealing.
Right, in a security case. And so the cashier didn't have any teeth.
No.
She looked a little worn out. Still didn't dawn on me what's going on here. We go to leave and we go to walk back out these gates because we've already checked out and we don't. Well, then it says in these big signs, not an exit. So those gates only open one way. They want to control traffic leaving this Walmart.
Yes.
And that's what I asked you. I said, where the fuck are we? And who do I need to be afraid of?
And because you had no idea.
Right. Because, you know, like at our, we have certain sections of town where, you know, like you don't go to the northeast side of Jacksonville, not near Moncrief or a Walmart there at night. It's the hood. You don't want to go. You know who the bad guys are. You don't go to the west side of town where all the meth heads are on a Saturday night because you know those meth heads are bad guys. Mm-hmm. I thought we were in Daytona, Florida, which is a vacation town. I didn't know who we were supposed to be scared of. And so I'm asking you, and I think that you were trying to be politically correct at first. And I was like, I'm trying to ask you for my safety. I need to know who the bad guys are because I'm so confused.
Now, mind you, Sabrina, you didn't ask me who the bad guys were until we were out of the fucking Walmart.
Well, I just needed to know.
So I'm going, what's the point?
Right, because I'm walking around just as clueless as ever. I've never seen a Walmart set up like that ever. And I think Jacksonville's technically listed the number one murder capital of Florida. Where the fuck were we?
Well, murdering and stealing from Walmart, you know?
Right. So you finally told it was mostly the meth heads. And Nate confirmed it to me later on, too, that it was the meth heads that they're concerned of. And I was like, okay, well, at least now I know. I got to be careful for the cashier with no teeth that was probably an ex-meth head who has, you know, granted, gotten her life together now. That was a whole experience on its own for me. And I'm still talking about that Walmart.
I loved it. And that was the first time I was ever in that Walmart.
Yeah, it was weird, right? I've never seen anything like that.
It's very weird.
So then we go and get our hair done. You've got a great hair lady. We get our hair done. We rush home.
Oh, no. Tell them. Oh, no. Never mind.
Right. Right. No, we do have secrets on Not a Safe Space. We do have secrets.
We do.
Now, you know what? Some of our friends are going to message us and be like, you better fucking tell me what the secret is.
Be like, can't tell.
Yeah, no.
I'd have to kill you.
Yeah, that's right. We'd have to bury your body at this Walmart somewhere around there. We'll set up a crackhead.
If we can get it through security.
Yeah, right. So we get all dressed up. We go to the party. We have a great time.
Yes.
I know I told my husband to drink. I said, drink and have a good time. You don't have to drive. You don't have to worry about anything. We're not on a schedule tomorrow. We didn't have anything planned for Sunday. Just get drunk and dance with me all night long.
And he did.
He did. Yeah. And you did. You danced a lot.
I did. And I got drunk. And I haven't gotten drunk in a long time. Not that it didn't take much, but I kept saying to you, I'm like, Sabrina, I'm so fucking drunk. You did, yeah. I haven't been so drunk in so long. And when I go around telling people I'm drunk, I'm really drunk.
Right, but you hung through because we made it past midnight. I mean, you hung through. You'd been drinking since about 6 o'clock.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And you made it through. Now, I did notice, so Dion's not a dancer, but Dion danced as well.
He did.
And so my husband would never used to dance with me, ever. I'd always have to go out with my sister-in-laws to dance. Like, Nate would stand back, and then, you know, Marie, Diane, we would all go dance. But Nate would never do it. And my sister-in-law, Marie, and I would make fun of him. And over the last probably 10 years, Nate dances with me now. And we love to go to weddings, and we love receptions, and I love dancing with him. And there was a moment when I looked at him and we were dancing and he had the biggest genuine smile on his face. Aww. And he was happy that he, it just stuck with me that like the next morning when we woke up, I was like, thank you. Like I had so much fun with him and could see just how, and you know, my husband doesn't show emotion a lot and he doesn't show gratitude and happiness a lot. And mm-hmm. He had the biggest smile on his face and he was like singing the lyrics all night in my ear and we were just having a blast.
Awesome.
But then I did notice there were moments when like Dion would leave to go hang up his jacket and then take a break, where now he's dancing with me and you.
Right.
He's terrible at that.
That's okay. I'm used to men not being able to dance in general.
Right, but it's not just you. It's with everybody. So he does it, like, to our friend Jen all the time. Because, you know, if Jen's with us, we're like the three amigos, right? So the other day, we were at a hockey game, and I was sitting next to Jen, and Jen was sitting next to Nate. So she was in the middle of us, and Nate kept reaching his arm around to tap me. And every time he did that, Jen would lean into him like they were cuddling. And Nate would sit up right away and like get really stiff and get really uncomfortable. So it's not like, it's not just you, but it would be anyone. Like he will dance with me because it's all he knows. And I'm his girl and that's what he's going to do. And he's only comfortable dancing with me. He's done it one other time. We went to a wedding in October and our niece, Rachel, grabbed him and took him out on the dance floor. And it was such a moment that his sister Marie started crying because she was like, Nate would never dance with anybody else. And I was like, but he has weak moments at weddings and it gets to his little heart and he loves Rachel. He loves her and he would hate, and she was the bride and he would have hated to disappoint her. And when he came back, I was like, babe, that was so awesome. And he was like,
oh,
like it was a moment for him. It was a lot. So it was just, we love to dance. We love to be together. It was a great, great night. What were your highlights of the night? Besides looking like a badass, you looked great. I told you that night, like you fucking nailed your look. The dress looked amazing. Your makeup looked amazing. Your hair looked great.
Thank you. I clean up pretty well, don't I?
Yeah, it was great.
I went from being a badass, having great thick hair, to thin, no makeup, and wearing a cut-up Led Zeppelin t-shirt.
Perfect. I mean, right? That's why I'm in yoga pants and a t-shirt today. So.
Right?
Yeah, lucky I have a bra on.
Pretty much.
So what were your highlights?
So one of my big highlights was, well, of course, I was on stage and I didn't fall down. Thank God. Woo! That was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And then just seeing everybody get all dressed up and having a great time and seeing the fruits from all our hard work. I really enjoy that because it takes so much work and so much effort to put this thing together.
Right.
Yep. And then of course, Dion going out on the dance floor and dancing with me. That's my favorite part. I love it.
It's fun, right? It is.
I love it. Even though, you know, he's not the greatest dancer, but he tries and he gets out there and he makes a fucking effort.
Right. And and he even said, like, we were talking and he said, you know, there's something about getting all dressed up and going to these like formal events and dance, because it's not normal life. We don't get to buy a gown and our men be in tuxes unless it's your wedding normally. Even at a norm, at a guest of a wedding, you're just in maybe your best suit. So our husbands were in tuxes and they looked wonderful. And
they did.
Women look beautiful, and then it's just fun.
It is. And then everybody's very classy and it's so relaxed. And, you know, that was one thing I always thought about was after prom, then you have your wedding. There's no other real formal events.
Right.
For, you know, tradition wise. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless you're involved in an organization like this, or you go to galas where you're donating money. But outside of that, there's no real big events.
Yeah, there's no reason to get dressed up like that ever.
And I love getting dressed up like that. And that's the other part I love about crew, is because not only during the carnival season do we have this big ball, but we have socials where you have to get dressed up prior to. Now, sometimes it's more relaxed, but it's still very festive. You get dressed up in the crew colors, the Mardi Gras colors, and mm-hmm. you, or based on our theme. So last year, our theme was Super Women Heroes. For one of the socials, women were coming out as Wonder Woman, Batwoman. Who else was, I mean, all of them. We had Hulk Hogan there. I mean, this guy literally bought a fucking Hulk suit and he was 6 foot. So like everybody gets into it and it gets so much fun and takes on the characters.
Yeah, it's, and the whole thing is a huge production too. Like it's super cool the way that the ladies from crew and the husbands all get involved. It's great.
Yes, it is.
So then we got home a little bit after midnight. A little more, you know, we hung out a little bit more and had some fun laughs until what time? We didn't go to bed until...
Oh, my God. 2:30.
Yeah, 2:30. Nate went to sleep first.
Yep.
And then you, Dion, and I partied a little more. We were hanging out, cracking up. I was filling you guys in on some of the shenanigans that go on over here at House on the Creek.
Okay. Will you please tell that story? Because the way you told it to us was so fucking hilarious that I almost didn't believe you, because it sounded like I was listening to a movie in my head.
Okay, not...
So you have to tell this story.
I'm not going to tell it today because we do have a full agenda today, but I will share.
Damn you.
She is talking about a poop story that has happened in our house. We'll save it for the next episode. And I'll get everybody's permission to share the story of what fucking monsters I live with in this house. Yeah, I mean, I wish I was lying. I wish I wasn't telling the truth.
I know. And I was going, wait. I was like, stop. Are you fucking with me right now? I'm like, are you?
No, you did ask me that. You were like, are you fucking with me?
Because I didn't believe you.
You're like, I like the story, but I need to know if it's true. And I'm like, it's fucking true.
I know. And I'm like, okay, all right, let's go with it.
Yeah. Like this house is ridiculous. Just last night, my son was being taught how to clean the smoker grates. He was doing the dishes with a drill.
Okay.
And a metal sander at the end. That's how, because he had forgotten to wash it. So the men in our house at that time, it was Nate and Rainey, said, even scrubbing it with a Brillo pad. And they were like, you need to go grab the drill and a wire brush. Yeah, a wire brush. And I was like, are you guys fucking kidding me? And Rainey did that old Tim the Tool Man. He was like, look, on behalf of Bedford Tools, Tim the Tool Man Taylor would do it. And now he's doing dishes with a fucking drill. And they're going, well, don't get the drill wet. Yeah, assholes, because you're not supposed to do dishes with the... with a fucking drill.
No, you're not.
I've never seen a wife in there with a drill using a Brillo pad.
Shit, I would use a drill on a fucking Brillo. You know how sticky some of that shit gets? Do you know how much easier our life would be if there was a waterproof drill soapy sponge thing?
That's what they were doing.
That's an invention we need to fucking make.
It is, right? That's, hey... something that hasn't improved over decades is a fucking kitchen sponge. Let's be real. The hard side on the sponge is not even fucking useful.
No.
That's why we gotta soak shit all the time.
Exactly. And then you gotta soak it, and then you gotta wash it, and then you gotta dry it and put it away. Or soak it and then put it in the dishwasher.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, they used a drill last night to do dishes. So I will save the story. I have to get permission from poo-flinging monkeys in my house and make sure that Child Services isn't going to be called on me, the Humane Society, whoever else. I don't know. The Environmental Department, Clean Hygiene Department. I need to get signed off first.
Okay.
So what I do want to talk about that is I don't need their permission is, well, first of all, tell me about... You sent me that Kirk Douglas died.
Yes, he did die.
So I mentioned this at dinner on Friday night. I said, oh, yeah, we're going to talk about Kirk Douglas dying. And then I said, I'm going to be honest. I don't know who the fuck he is. And Jen said,
are you serious?
I don't know who the fuck he is either. I know. But Doreen gave us that look.
Are you fucking kidding me? You don't know who Kirk Douglas is?
I do now, and I'm only going to tell you how I know him, and it's not because of him. It's from a line in the movie Clueless. So tell me who Kirk Douglas is.
Well, first of all, it's Michael Douglas's father.
Yep, I know that now, as of Friday.
Oh, my God.
Teach me, Tabby, teach me. I'm excited.
Okay. Holy shit. So Kirk Douglas passed away and he was 103 years old. 103. This man's old.
He must be part Asian. Only fucking Asians live that long.
No, actually, his family were Jewish immigrants from Russia.
Oh.
So when he passed, I did a little bit of quick research on him to just get some background. Like, I knew who he was, but I didn't realize how much this man has done in Hollywood. So his parents were Jewish immigrants from Russia, and his real name is not Kirk Douglas. His real name is Isher Danielvich.
That's a mouthful.
Isn't it? And then he also grew up as Izzy Dembski.
I like that.
That was his nickname. So Dembski was a surname that his uncle took when he came to the United States. So when he moved to the United States, he took the Dembski last name. And Izzy Dembski. But then he changed his name to Kirk Douglas. Don't know how the fuck you get Kirk Douglas from Izzy Dembski, but okay.
Well, he wanted to whiten, Americanize that shit up.
Yes, he did.
Prize's name was in John Smith.
Pretty close.
Right.
And then he changed it before he entered in the Navy during World War II.
Okay.
So he was in the Navy for only 3 years. And he got out and he started acting in the 1940s. Like, by 1949, he had acted in Champion, playing an anti-hero boxer. And that is where he got his bad boy image from. But that was his 8th film. This man has produced over 58 films. He's been in hundreds and stars and films. I really liked this. In 1955, he created Brenna Productions. And Brenna is his mother's name. He grew up in a very, you know, a poor household. It was him, his parents, and he had 6 sisters. So father was an alcoholic. He had to do a lot of work to help support the family. So I really like that he named his production company after his mother. And then in 1960, he produced Spartacus, the original Spartacus. Fucking amazing.
Okay, so now this is where I'm smiling because I think that I was forced to watch Spartacus in school.
Okay.
However, the movie Spartacus only matters to me because there is a scene in the movie Clueless where Cher is trying to hit on Christian, and she invites him over to her house and they're going to watch movies, and he had brought over Some Like It Hot and Spartacus. That's the only reason why that movie dings in my head is because Cher's laying on the bed and she's trying to be all cute and she goes to flip her hair and falls off the fucking bed. So that's my only connection to it. Go on.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know that had happened in Clueless.
Yeah. Yep, they talk about the movie Spartacus. And then she falls off the bed.
Then she falls off the bed. Okay. And then in 1963, he starred in the Broadway One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, I've seen that.
Okay. So, oh, then you know this. So that was the Broadway. He purchased the rights from the author. Later, he gave the rights to his son. Who's his son?
Michael Douglas.
There you go. Who produced the movie, The One Who Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, that you've seen?
Okay.
And it turned into an Oscar winning film.
Okay.
I don't know if you know this, but he also got the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Nice. For what?
He did a lot of philanthropy. That's it.
Oh, yeah. Good job. Yeah.
He did a lot of that. He donated a lot of money. Him and his second wife spent a lot of time traveling on their own dime to other countries and preaching the benefits of democracy.
Now, I did hear that he survived a helicopter crash.
Mm-hmm, in 96.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy, right? Most people don't survive anything falling out of the fucking sky.
Right? No.
So he was just on a private helicopter and it fell out of the sky and he survived?
I believe that's what happened. I didn't really look into it too much.
Yeah. And then Doreen had told us that he had four sons and only one was an actor, which was Michael Douglas, who I love Michael Douglas. And one was an alcoholic or had some type of dependency issues and had killed himself as well. So.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, she knew all about him. So, and that his wife lived a long time too, right?
Right. Him and his second wife were together for 65 years.
So it made me think about like what we had mentioned last week with J-Lo, that J-Lo had the money to be able to have this amazing body because she can pay for food. She could pay for a cook. She could pay for the fitness part, which maybe that's the fountain of youth. Or that's what Jen had said. Like the fountain of youth is money.
It is.
These fuckers had a lot of money and they could live forever.
Right. As long as you're taking care of yourself and doing what's necessary. I mean, Kirk Douglas had a lot of money. They donated $2.3 million to the Children's Hospital of Los Angeles.
Crazy.
Among other things, Wikipedia had said they donated most of their $80 million net worth to charities.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's really fucking cool.
Yeah. So he died at 103 years old.
And three, yes.
Yeah, nuts. Well, you know, at that point, you can't really be sad when somebody dies at 103, right?
Right. No.
Great fucking life.
They had an amazing life.
Randy and I were saying last night, I'm good about 70. Don't cry for me after 70.
Yeah. No, I want to go past 70.
Yeah, I think I'll be all right.
Healthily, I want to keep.
Well, if you're healthy, if not, don't leave.
Well, this is true. I mean, my mom, Dee, is 76.
Oh, yeah. And she's still fine, yeah.
And she's fucking kicking ass. My grandmother, Nan, she's 80 years old. I've got another grandmother who's like in her 90s. So no, I'm not checking out at 70. 70's too fucking young.
Well, to be determined on my part. Depends on how these bones and shit feel and what this face looks like. I might just euthanize myself.
Oh my gosh.
So let's jump to, I have something else from Delanne that I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
That Dion and I were talking about during the crew ball. We were talking about music. While we were standing there, and he was talking about his son Colton is obviously a musician, and that he listens to music differently than others because he is technically trained in the sounds of the guitar, the notes, the rhythm of the music. Well, not the rhythm, but he's more on the technical side when it comes to instruments and listening to it.
And let me clarify this for you. It's not that he's technically trained. The kid was fucking born this way. Right. It is. It's just a natural talent he has.
Right, but it's also just the way he listens to music. He listens to music for the instrumental parts and the way that they're moving and it's listening and all of that. And so then I was telling Dion that I listen to music for the lyrics. I don't care what bebop-y song it is. I don't care if it's a pop song, a rap song, a love song, a country song. I listen to a song and then I always look it up and I read the words, and there's just certain things that there's fucking bars within in music that hit home. And then I was explaining that where Nate can listen to a song over and over again and never listen to the words of it. But he listens to the beat because he used to be a DJ, and they're used to intermixing songs and having to pay attention to the beat of a song.
Right.
So that he could jump and layer in. And so then we were just talking about how music is so different and personal.
Right.
To every person. Now, are you connected at all to music? Do you feel that way? Because you danced to music. So I would feel like you'd have some...
Right. So for me, where you listen to the lyrics, I listen to the rhythm and how my body wants to react to the music.
Right.
So it's not about the words that are being said all the time. I mean, I do enjoy that part, but it's about the rhythm, the beat, and being able to dance to it. And that's why I had a really hard time at Crew the other night at the ball, because the band, while it was a great band, they were taking original songs and trying to make them their own, and it wasn't working from a dancer's point of view. I could not listen to Michael Jackson, Rockin' Robin, with this different tempo. I'm going... No, you can't dance this song with that tempo. It doesn't fit.
Right. Well, so what you're trying to say, they were playing, it wasn't Michael Jackson doesn't do Rockin' Robin.
It was all that genre, though. It was the 70s. Yeah, it was the 70s, 60s.
Yeah, disco. But what's this fucking crew? No, what's the band name that Michael Jackson, Fab Five, something Five, something?
Oh, the Jackson Five.
The Jackson Five. So they were playing the Jackson Five song with Rockin' Robin and trying to create this mashup of it, right? So then where, because they were mashing it up and the microphones were so low, you couldn't figure out what the fucking beat was. Not just you, but anybody, right? Because now I can't hear the lyrics to know where it was, and then they're trying to create this mashup, and they did it with a bunch of songs, like this song and mashing it up, which normally works, but because lyrics were too low and you just couldn't follow it and you didn't really know how to move to it.
Exactly. And if I'm having a hard time figuring out how to move to music as a dancer, everybody else was just lost.
Right. So I looked up this thing. So I used to have a blog back in the day. And one time on this car ride home, or on this car ride to Texas, it was in the middle of the night. My family was sleeping in the car. And then I'm listening to music, just driving to get us on this 18-hour drive. And the song by Evanescence, My Immortal, came on. Do you know that song?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, I do.
So I wrote, this is what I wrote in my blog. I started to cry. The pain was real. If the pain was real, then the love was real. I remember sitting in the sunlight of the sliding glass door, staring into this house that had our furniture, but no pictures on the wall. A couple boxes still unpacked and I was alone. The pain I felt sitting alone in the home we bought with our son was real. I never felt so alone in my life. You have no idea how that felt. You went from our house to a new house, from one life to another life. As the song played, the pain was unbearable. You hurt me. You shamed me. You lied and lied and lied to me. From that moment, you acted like none of this mattered, that I didn't matter to you, that our marriage didn't matter, and you made it all my fault. I was fat. I was a cheater. She was better than me. You left me in the shell of a life we created with all this pressure. 23 years old with the weight of the world thrown on her while you left to go party and drink with your new friends. In the beginning, I fought for you and I fought for our marriage. I begged you and I begged the person I once knew. That young boy was gone. In the eyes, I saw nothing except a monster. You used to captivate me by your resonating light. Now I'm bounded by the life you left behind. Your face, it haunts me, my once pleasant dreams. Your voice chased away all the sanity in me. So the very last lines are the lyrics of the song. But that's hearing that song always brings me back to that moment of my divorce, and that I just listened to that song over and over again, and how much it, like, to me, music literally is the soundtrack of my life.
Right.
I listen to it based on how I'm feeling and what's going on in my life, where music for you is something, you know, it moves your body. It makes you start feeling a certain way. It brings you this joy of dancing and expressing yourself through movement.
Mm-hmm.
And I love music.
And you can express yourself through words through the music, because Sabrina, that was fucking amazing what you wrote.
Oh, thank you.
Holy shit, you should be the writer.
Yeah. Yes. No, thanks. But it's just, I guess I never thought about that. To me, it's just expressing myself. It's the music. I like literally if the song comes on, I'm brought right back to that moment.
Right. And music does that. It brings you back to a moment in time. It always does. I remember songs that I used to listen to as a kid. And in the moment I hear that song, I am back in my old bedroom with my CD cassette carrier and my headphones and just sitting there listening.
Right.
Yeah. Musics are memories.
Yeah, that's what there is a song lyric called from, it's the song is called Springsteen. It's a country song. And that's what they say is that it brings you right back to that old dirt road or wherever you might have been.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
And it's true. It's so true.
And I think I told you, Nate and I play this game of music where we'll sit down, whether it's on our back patio or we played it on the way to your house on the, you know, hour and a half, 2 hour drive, where I'll play one song. And I think I started off with Smash Mouth or something from the 90s. And then he'll play a song that immediately brings him back to a memory of when that song was out. So now we're down in the night. Like the car right there, we were in 96, 97, 98. So he's a few years older than me. So like some of the songs that he was listening to in the club still affected me in high school. And then so it was just, it just brings you back to these memories that you have all the time.
Yes.
I love it. I love it. So, well, thank you for that compliment. I'll send you this blog.
What's the name of the blog? People need to hear it.
Well, I'm not going to say it out loud because I'm not sure if, so I wrote this open letter to my ex-husband, and that's just a segment of it where we just kind of, I'll send it to you and then I'll decide, because the blog is private. It talks a lot about my family. And listen, at this point, it's not like I've held anything back.
Right.
But, well, I guess you guys can go look it up. It's called Inside Bree's Head, and it's on Blogger. It's just old. It's been out there for a long time. You can dive into it and look into it if you guys want. But I'll send it to you, Tabby.
Okay.
My next thing on my list here is just like song music that goes out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
This next topic is what's going into your mouth. And it says lack of oral sex in marriage.
Huh. I did not see this one coming. I'm sitting over here going, we're going to talk about don't fuck with cats. And she's like, yeah, we're going to talk about blowjobs. What the fuck?
Right. So, cats, pussy, dicks in the mouth. That's where we're going.
Eating. Okay.
So I was watching Real Housewives of New Jersey this week. And then I also saw an article on Twitter where it says that there is a lack of oral sex in marriage. And in Real Housewives of New Jersey, one of the ladies just caught an attitude problem. And one of the husbands went up to the other husband and said, listen, you need to bang your wife more. She has an attitude problem. And you guys are only banging once a month, which they have said that her and her husband only have sex once a month. And so they were saying, well, that's why she has an attitude problem. So my question is, and then one of the girls said that Jewish girls don't give oral sex. And so she said she never... So she said, first of all,
that's some bullshit, because I know a lot of Jewish girls.
Well, that's what, so she said, first of all, Jewish girls don't give oral sex and her husband doesn't like it. And I was like, all right, number two, the second one, your husband's lying to you.
Oh, definitely lying.
I don't think I've ever met a man that says he doesn't like it.
Yeah, no, because, yeah, no, I mean.
Right. He's saying that because you don't want to do it and he loves you.
Right.
So he's not making you feel bad, but your man definitely
likes oral.
Right.
I have never met a man, gay or straight, who doesn't like his dick sucked.
Right.
I mean, who would say, like, what woman would say she doesn't like her pussy eaten?
Yeah, I don't think that's a thing. I know somebody who said that, and I said, well, he's not doing it right.
Or she's not doing it right.
Yeah.
Fucking.
That's true.
Just hold their fucking head down right where you want it. Be like, rah, 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 rah.
Right. So Well, then, so if you know a lot of Jewish girls, then you can confirm to me that that's not, because I don't want to repeat that fact and be like, hey, do you know Jewish girls don't have sex? And they'll be like, or they don't like oral sex?
They like oral sex. I have, yeah.
Okay, good. So I'm going to take that off my list. Jewish girls like oral sex.
They like oral sex just as much as every other girl likes oral sex.
Because I put on here, I didn't know if it was a race thing or a cultural thing then. Is that, is there some cultures that find it dirty and they don't do it? Or is it just truly an excuse in this case?
I don't know. I'm just saying, knew a lot of Jewish girls in my college years. And they enjoy it because I've heard the stories.
Yeah. All right, good. So then I'm going to take that off of my factoids because since I get my facts from reality TV,
yeah.
I need to stand corrected. The other thing is, so when he had said to his wife about only banging once a month, and people on Twitter took offense to that of, well, first of all, he's a doctor. First of all, they have five younger kids that still co-sleep with him. Is it a requirement of a marriage to be having sex four or five times a week, three times a week, or is just some type of physical connection once a month okay if that's where you're at in your marriage at that moment?
Right. It's depending on the marriage.
Right.
I mean, if they've got five kids and he's a doctor that's on call, having sex even once a week can be hard.
Right.
But you still got to try to make the effort, right? And maybe that's the only time that they can have. So you can't really judge them for right. that. Now, if a couple like, say, me and Dion, who his, you know, our child's grown out of the house and there's nobody else and we're only having sex once a month, there's something fucking wrong.
But now, what about the fact that because you and Dion both work from home, I feel like if Nate and I were in that situation, I'd probably not have sex with him as much, right? Because he'd always be in my face all the time.
Yeah, I can see that.
Right? But because you get used to this pattern of your guys' work hours are in your home. And so then of how that separation comes from like turning off work hours to, I don't know, I feel like I wouldn't do it as often because I see him all the time. I would hate if Nate works here with me.
Oh, I love it. Dion's downstairs. I'm upstairs. We do our separate things. We come together for lunch. We don't have to drive or deal with traffic. We plan our days and then we go back and do whatever. And then at the end of the night, we come back together.
Right.
And the really great thing about him working from home is that, you know, if it's a slow day and not much is going on, I can get some nookie in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
I don't have to wait till night when I'm fucking tired.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So I'll just be like, hey, send a little text going, yum, yum, yum.
Mm-hmm. Is that what you say? Is that your call? Is it your mating call? No, I don't. Look, I'll send Nate a eggplant emoji.
No, that's not my call. That's a beep, beep.
Correct. Sex, question mark.
Oh, okay. I'll be like, I just go, do you want to have sex? Right. Well, you available? Let's go.
Well, that's good because I would worry, like for me, because I'm out of town. So then I get excited to come home and I'm like, hey, get ready to lay down that dick.
Right.
Right. So I think that because when we spend too much time together, he gets on my nerves and then I don't want to have sex with him.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't want to have sex with someone who gets on my nerves either.
Unless it's a frustration thing, and then I just want to use him to get that out of me.
You know, and I've said that to Dion. I'm like, sometimes he's like, you are more than welcome to just, like, lay me down and fuck the shit out of me. He's like, by all means. He's like, use me.
Yeah, why not?
He's like, yeah. And I'm like, good, because I will. I do.
Yeah. What do you think about Joey saying that to, in this case, it's Dr. Bill, about you need to bang your wife more because she's got a bad attitude?
there's a little bit of truth to that. I mean, you know.
So there's.
Look, ladies, we get cranky when we don't get any. Either, you know, if we're not rubbing it out ourselves or we're not getting some dick. You know, you can get cranky or pussy, whatever you're looking for, right? You need to have that orgasm right. to release, because it is a stress releaser.
Mm-hmm. I believe that. I think that sometimes, like in this particular case, and you wouldn't know because you don't know the whole context, that it's more of a cop-out.
Okay.
But I do believe that there is a mental release and chemical endorphins in having mm-hmm. sex and reaching a climax. And if I've had a bad fucking day and a headache all day, if I have sex, it releases all those endorphins. So I'm kind of the opposite of where it back in the old days where women would say, well, I'm not having sex because I have a headache. Where I'm like, hey, I have a headache. I try not to take Tylenol and all this other stuff. Here, let's just go have sex. It'll help.
Actually, physically, it does help.
See?
And no, because like you said, the endorphins, but when you have that stimulation from sex, you get the blood flow. Because what's happening with a headache is your blood vessels are so tight, the blood's not flowing like it's supposed to. So as you're relaxing, the blood flow is moving away from your head and relaxing you, and it will actually help get rid of a headache.
Yeah.
So now after sex, if the stress comes right back, and you could honestly, the headache can come back. But yes, it will technically relieve the headache. And masturbation will do the exact same thing.
Well, I know, because last month I had sex with myself more often than I had sex with my husband. Because
town.
Yeah, I traveled more than I was here in his defense. But when I said that to him, he was not happy. And I was like, it's not your fault.
Right.
But we weren't around each other all the time. And I got to get mine.
Yeah, most definitely. You got to get yours. I totally understand.
So yeah, he wasn't too happy with me. So speaking of husbands, this is the last topic before we jump into our main topic is with husbands, fat shaming. Do you ever fat shame Dion?
Not intentionally, but I have, and I've regretted it. Like, oh my God, I've said something. I don't even remember what I said, and it was recently, and the moment the words came out of my mouth, I went, I'm so sorry. I'm a fucking asshole. I'm like, I'm so sorry. That is so fucking wrong of me. And we're trying to lose weight. So, like, I was a straight up bitch.
Right.
I felt horrible, like, really fucking horrible. I went, okay, that was wrong. I need to just, like, shut my mouth and, like, go fucking hide somewhere.
Right. I did it last night, not intentionally, but by accident. And this is us having a great weekend, coming home and having great sex and going from this high to this moment of like, I had snapped a picture of Nate while they were showing Ethan how to wash dishes with the drill, and he wasn't sucking in. And and I did not realize the shape of his body. And so then I showed it to him, and he was like, oh, well, I suck in normally. And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, unless I'm asleep, I'm sucking in.
So he hides its stomach from you all the time?
Yeah, not for me. Not just for me, but the rest of the world. So that was the first thing is I was like, that's deceitful.
Wow, it's...
And he was like, well, you can look underneath the blanket while I'm sleeping. And I was like, who does that?
Right.
I would never look under the blanket and be like, I wonder if he's hiding a belly under here.
That's crazy.
So then I said, no wonder why you snore. You're withholding air to your body. So when you're asleep, your body's gasping for air.
So what did you say to him? I mean.
First, I just started making fun of him because I did think it was funny that he'd been sucking in for months, he said. Now, granted, so my husband hurt himself in October and with his knee, and then he had shoulder surgery. So he truly has not been able to exercise and get any cardio in since the middle of October. My problem is that I talked to him about this back in October and said, look, you can't exercise, but you can walk. We can go for walks. At that point, you could still lift weights. Mm-hmm. But that also means you have to watch what you're eating. Yeah, you have to watch what you're eating. And I meal prep your breakfast and your lunch for you, and I cook your dinners, but I'm talking about the hours that you're away from here and the hours that I'm not home.
Mm-hmm.
And so what yesterday's moment made me realize is I said, you're eating. And he said, well, yeah, I am. He said, there's this girl at the office that has this jar of peanut butter pretzels. And I go see her and I said, I asked you if you were eating those fucking pretzels. And you told me no.
Oh.
So here, instead of me being mad at him that he goes see some girl at her desk, I'm more mad that she's feeding my man fucking pretzels. Stop feeding him pretzels. He's not exercising.
Well, she doesn't know that.
And now he's sucking in this belly that he's... I said, what if I'm giving you a blowjob and you blow out? Are you... you're going to hit me in the fucking head with your beer belly. This is a safety issue for me.
Oh, my God. That's so fucking hilarious. I can't talk. She's laughing.
I really said that. I was like, this is a safety issue. That could cause extreme neck pain. If that belly just comes shooting off in my fucking head.
It would hit your forehead.
Or the side of my head. I mean, what the hell?
Wow. You better be careful.
And does that mean, like, if he's from behind me, is he letting that belly out? So I don't even, because he told me this morning, he's like, by the way, that means you've been fucking a fat guy. And I was like, I hate you. I hate you for even bringing that up to me.
Oh.
But now this is where I've, so he was able to take it as a joke last night, right? And we were kidding, but a lot of my jokes do come from concern because he can't have this weight on his body. He's had a heart attack. It's hard. Mm-hmm. And I worry about his safety. I am 100% attracted to my husband. That doesn't matter. He loved me when I was fat. He always supported me. The problem I have is I said, let me help you. Well, I can do it myself. I know how to do it. Yeah, but why wouldn't you let me help you? Like, I've helped other people lose weight. He won't do it. He would not say it. Mm-mm.
No, he doesn't want your help.
And then this...
He won't ask for it either. Dion will... when it has to be on his terms and it has to be his decision and when he's ready to do it. Been down this road with Dion many times, different topics, until he is ready to make the change. You're not going to convince him.
It makes me so mad. It makes me so mad. You know, he helps me with so much. If I, even when it came to stop drinking, I came to him. I need your help. I need you to tell me no. I need you to redirect me when you see this happening. And I can't, and I tell him, mm-hmm. like, this is what I need from you. I need you to do that. And the fact that he can't really pissed me off.
It's not that he can. It's just that. That's how guys work.
It's so annoying.
It's his problem. He's going to solve it. They're problem solvers. You have a problem, he wants to come and help you because that makes him feel good.
Right.
But if he has a problem and you're coming in to solve it for him, he's no longer the problem solver.
Yeah.
He has to do it on his own time. You just have to let him go.
Right.
I mean, you can still express your concerns and go, look, you know, the weight, and I'm concerned about your health, and you've had a heart attack, and these are the effects, and also, you also have to think about our children.
Oh, yeah, we talk about that all the time. Don't you think it's deceitful that he's been sucking in for 2 months?
A little, yeah, you know, it's...
Because I even said, on the way down to Deland, before we started playing our game, we were talking about, like, people that we've been together for 16 years, and normally when you look at people, they start to let go of themselves, right? And I said, how much did you, Tabby's raising her hand. I said, how much did you weigh when we met? And so he told me his weight, and I think he's gained like 10 to 15 pounds. And I said, and you were a 20-year-old, and now you're 42. And most 42-year-old men have some type of beer belly. They have some, their body starts to change, and you've been really lucky. And he let me fucking compliment him. He didn't say, you know what, Sabrina? And let the belly out.
Oh, no.
He continued to suck in and say, oh, well, thank you.
Well, you knew he was going to take the compliment because, shit, if you were sucking in your belly and you got complimented on it, you'd fucking take that compliment because you felt like you'd earned it from holding it in your stomach for 6 months.
No, so that's what I told him. I said, I was fat, and I let you see all of it. All of it.
Right.
And I said, you saw me naked and fat. And I said, the fact that you didn't, first of all, I feel like you don't trust me to love you like that. Because then he was like, well, I'm sorry that, and I said, stop talking about the way you look. I don't care about that. What I'm saying is that weight on your stomach is all connected to the way that your blood is flowing now, the blood that's going to your heart. Don't talk to me like you're insulting me by saying your looks matter to me. I am mad that you have been deceiving me by sucking in.
Well, maybe his looks are mattering to him right now, and he's really insecure the same way a woman gets insecure about her weight, and he doesn't want to talk about it because he's the man of the house and he's insecure about a few 10 extra, 15 extra pounds.
Right. Well, that's what we started saying. That's like the realization that I came to this morning. He woke me up and was like, hey, I weighed myself. And, you know, he weighed 5 less pounds this morning than he did yesterday. Because he wouldn't get on the scale yesterday. All of us got on the scale. Ethan, Randy, Lorelai, everybody. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I will not get on that scale until the morning. And he said, you only weigh yourself in the morning. And I said, why? If you don't care about your...
You weigh less.
Yeah, I said, but if you don't care about your weight, what's an extra 3 pounds of food going to do if you weigh yourself at night? I said, that's just like weighing yourself butt fucking naked. You're never walking around butt fucking naked. And I said, do you take off your shoes before you weigh yourself at the doctor? Yeah, Tabby said yes. Nate was like, fuck yes.
Fuck yes, I do. Every fucking ounce counts. I'm taking that shit off.
Right. That's what he said. And so this morning, then I felt bad. I was like, all right, well, maybe that it doesn't matter to me how he looks, but it really matters to him. And so here I was making fun and poking fun at it, but I've now fat shamed him, which he's never done to me.
Right.
And I'm an asshole.
We're both assholes.
Right. And then the part of me that runs very similar to a man is now I want to help him. Let me help you. And he's not going to, because that's what happens when you have two male personalities. He's not going to let me help him.
No, he's not. And you just got to let him do his thing. And when he's ready, he's ready.
Right.
Same way like Dion with quitting the smoking.
Right.
I talked and we complained and we went through this for years. And finally, when he's ready, he's ready. And he had a moment and he's like, okay, that's it. We're done. I'm ready. And the same thing with getting on, you know, losing the weight. It wasn't until there was this moment of, holy shit, this is insane. I can't keep doing this. I've got to make a change. And when that happens, he'll lose all the weight. He'll do all the right things. He'll make all the changes and it'll be great. But up until that point, if you keep nagging him and bitching him about it, he won't do it out of spite.
Right. And more than that, it's like the mental side of it, right? Like his self-esteem, where now I feel bad, where I don't know what else I can do to show this man that I am 100% ride or die in love with him, literally chase him around like a fucking dog in heat, begging him for sex all the time. Like, I am super attracted to you, and I'm sorry that you feel like it's conditional, and it's not, right? Like, I love, so now, as his wife and his teammate, I know I got to kick it up even more, right? The same way a man would do for a woman, where, baby, you look great, don't worry, you look good, is that I think sometimes we forget that men have these feelings too.
Right, exactly. And he needs to hear it, that he looks great as well, and then... But that's only a Band-Aid, because really what's going on is Nate doesn't feel beautiful. Okay. Nate doesn't feel sexy right now. You've had moments where you're like, I don't feel sexy. I don't care what anybody else says.
For sure.
I don't like the image in the mirror. I don't feel good. And everybody could turn around and tell you, oh my God, you look so great. You look so great. Blah, blah, blah. It's awesome. And you're like, eh. And they're like, no. And it doesn't make a difference.
Right.
Until your mentality is where, and your body is where you want to be.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Right. And I need to be careful from the sense of importance for me internally for him. he's connecting it to what he thinks is visual, and it's not. Mm-hmm. And so where I'm going to have to work on this song, because the last 12 hours has not been good, where it was just jokes at first. And now I'm like, all right, well, it's not really funny. And it's the fact that he said something about it first thing this morning. I hate that he was thinking about it. And if he went and saw that fucking bitch and ate pretzels today, I'm going to punch him in his face.
That's not helpful, Sabrina.
Oh, yes. I mean, what else can I do? I'm cooking for you, man. I'm doing everything.
No, you're going to punch him in the face for eating pretzels. Do you know what's going to happen? That motherfucker's going to go back to that pretzel lady 4 more times.
No, you know what he said? He was like, I'm not going to see her again after Friday, because Friday's his last day of work. So it's funny, like, we're talking about, like, somebody who's cheating, right? Like, mm-hmm. I promise I'm going to stay away from her. But our issue is the fact that she keeps a desk full of fucking pretzel peanut butter in her and gives it to him.
Yeah.
I got problems with you, Laura. I got problems.
Oh, jeez.
So, hey, you said a line earlier. You said, if for a man, you said, if there's a problem, I'll solve it.
Right. Most men are problem solvers.
You know what you just quoted?
What?
It says, if there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while my DJ revolves it. You quoted Ice Ice Baby.
Oh, no, I didn't. No.
So when you said it, I started singing that line in my head.
That's sad. Told you,
music, lyrics, everything all go together.
It is, even if you don't like the musician.
All right, so let's jump to you watched a new documentary. I watched a new, well, it was more like a series, right?
No, I think it, was it a series or was?
Yeah, it was like 3 episodes.
Or was it a documentary? I don't remember. But it was fucking good. It was a couple weeks ago. We watched Don't Fuck With Cats on Netflix.
Yeah, how did it go? Start telling me all about it.
So it's a documentary, and basically what it is about is this fucking kid went on the internet, and the video was called One Boy, Two Kittens, and he pretty much, no, not pretty much, he fucking killed 2 cats on TV or on the internet and played the video. And what he did was, which is really sick, mm-hmm. he took a seal bag?
Vacuum seal bag.
A vacuum seal bag, put the kittens in there, and sucked all the air out.
Ugh.
And what happened was, obviously, this huge outrage. Everybody got irate, threatened to kill this person. But of course, the person or the internet profile that did this, you couldn't see the person's face. It was a fake account, right? Nobody knew who this was. Well, this group mm-hmm. of people banded together to literally find out who he was. That's the premise. So basically the whole documentary is this group of people trying to track down a cat killer.
Yeah, they're like online sleuthing at this point. They're dissecting the video, looking at what's in the background, the type of...
the electric sockets.
Right, because it's different from country to country, and
yep.
what might be on his walls, what might be on his desk. All of those things, the kind of comforter, because sometimes if you pay attention, you can tell if something's a home and garden product or if that's something that you can purchase at Target or this, and then you'll know what, there's a lot.
Region.
Yeah, and they were really digging into that.
They were, and that was really, really interesting. And then I wrote down a question about this when they were talking about the outrage on the internet. And I went, why aren't these people angry at everyday death of a human? Are kittens really mm-hmm. more important than humans? Because I was going, in the time that this sicko created this video, hundreds of people were shot, were killed. There was something else going on. And that I'm like, where's the outrage or the sense of humanity?
Yeah, but I think the thing there is that you assume if somebody's been shot or murdered, there's a detective or police department looking into that, even if it's done in a bad manner. But what the lady said is that there's this weird rule online where you just don't fuck with cats.
Right. Rule zero.
Yeah, is you don't fuck with cats. Like, they're little cute kittens. You don't do it. Now, I wrote down, why do we give a fuck about cats? First of all, cats are the most selfish fucking animals in the world.
And they're also the only animal that will eat its owner when you fucking die.
Yes!
It will eat you.
But rule zero online says we don't fuck with fucking cats. So that's the more the part where I'm like, okay, you guys need to get a life. But it, where I think, you know, their point of view is this was step one in somebody that's going to be a bad person. The problem is the police don't care because he actually hasn't killed a human at this point.
Right.
So then there is a need for these online sleuths who I can't imagine have very much lives, because how many years did they invest in figuring out?
I think it was 2 or 3 years that they invested in this. And she even said in the beginning she had broken up with a partner.
So she had plenty of time.
She had plenty of time. She literally used this as a substitute to not having to really deal with her breakup. And she just threw herself into this situation. And they had said he made thousands of people feel helpless with one video. And it was true, because you're sitting there and you're watching these animals die and you can't do anything.
Right.
And then the fucker made another video of him playing with the dead cats.
Yeah, because now he's kind of taunting them, right?
Right. Because it's like, oh, now I know you're looking into me. I watch this.
Right. So now, and they said that through like the group chats and these forums that they have, that they suspected that he was, had created, you know, almost some type of catfish profile where he was involved in and watching and appreciating the fanboy of it.
Right. So he created another fake profile and joined this group as a spy or a mole and was watching them try to find him.
Right.
And something bad happened in that group. And then some guy decided to say, hey, I'm the cat killer.
Mm-hmm.
Remember? And again, the outlash from it. And there were a few people in that group who went, wait, this doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit the profile. It doesn't fit the few little clues that they had found, right? Mm-hmm. But nobody cared. They were like, oh, you said you did it. Fucking death threats. You know, they went on the bullying. And then they talked about, I think it was 3 weeks after that, he ended up killing himself. And they don't know if it was because of that or other issues going on. It was kind of crazy.
Yeah, so that guy that did that, so I think there's a lot of layers for somebody who claims that they did a murder that they didn't do. And we're talking about the murder of cats here, but there's been other people that have tried to like claim responsibilities for like that little beauty queen that went missing.
Oh yes. Joanne's, I think
she's got a strange name. I don't know. The little girl that went missing and they found her body dead in her basement on Christmas morning or something like that. People are screaming her name now, but whatever. But there was some serial killer that tried to take claim for it. And they were like, there's no way he could have done that. But some people are just fucking weird. And they want that. They know by saying that, like the guy that did it in this case, he knew that people were going to attack him.
Right. Which is why he didn't say his name.
Right. So why would you want to, or where you're at mentally at that time, that you're now requesting people to threaten you?
Right.
That's how much little attention he was receiving in his life, that he wanted bad attention.
Exactly. He wanted someone to notice him for something like this that he didn't even have the gumption to do himself.
Right. So then for him to then kill himself. Now, I've read a lot about, and I think I've talked about it before, I've read these books about people being publicly shamed on Facebook or social media, and then the fact that they do kill themselves. I don't feel like this guy falls into that category. He asked for it. He said, I'm the guy that killed these fucking cats. Come and attack me now, basically.
That's basically what he said, because he would have also known all the attacks, because when the first video came out,
right,
there were all these angry attacks,
right,
at no one, because nobody knew.
Right.
So he was aware.
Right. So then they move on from that, and he posts another video of, he let a fucking python eat a cat, right?
That was the third one. The second third video, because remember, he made the first cat's play. Mm-hmm. The second video, real video, was where he drowned a cat.
Oh, in a bathtub.
In the bathtub. He taped it to a broomstick and drowned it. And what they had found out was that that was a copy of the Moore murders. And that was the Moore murderers, they were a couple, and they were serial killers, and they killed children.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was the couple's name was Ian and Brady Henley, and they killed and kidnapped 5 children. And one of the children, Leslie Ann Downey, was drowned with Christmas carols. And when he drowned this cat, he had Christmas carols playing in the background, like the little drummer boy.
Mm-hmm.
And when he posted this video, he posted it with a picture on his profile picture of Leslie Ann Downey. So the chick who was like into all of this, the one on the documentary, she's like, I fucking know who that face is.
Right. Deanna, I think, was the lady's name. Yeah.
Deanna, right.
Yeah.
So they realized he was now copying actual murders and using animals.
Right. Well, so that makes me think the soundtrack of my life. The last thing I want to die to is Christmas music.
Yeah, that's sad.
The little drummer boy, give me a fucking break.
Right?
Yuck. I'm going to have to think. If somebody's going to murder me, please play a better song than that. It matters to me, Tabby. You're looking at me like, really? That's what you got out of that statement?
I'm sure it does. I don't want to be murdered.
I don't either, but if I do, I need a better song choice.
If you even get a song.
Look. Just put my dead ass thumb on my iTunes playlist and hit random and I'll be good. Murder me to one of my playlists.
Murder you to a playlist. Oh my gosh. That's so crazy, Sabrina.
When they finally connected, so then he's copying this murder. They do the bathtub one. Then he does the python one.
Right. And then he does do that. Now, what they did find out about this guy, they found out his name was Luca Magnata.
Uh-huh.
And he had created 50 Facebook groups. He had 14 different profiles. And he had this celebrity persona online. So this sick fucker took his picture and put it on celebrity photos, or photos all over the internet, like he was some rich and famous person. So he's very vain. So he was looking for this mm-hmm. attention.
Right. Right. So my question to you, so he was trying to be a model, right?
Right.
And he didn't make it.
No, he did not.
And they talked about that a little bit on the episode. And then, so my question is, do you think that if he would have become a successful model, he would have killed and murdered anything that, because he obviously feeds off of attention, right?
Mm-hmm.
He liked the attention from the cat video. He liked the attention of people following him and looking for him. And even once they knew who he was, he had to keep escalating the things he was doing so nobody would lose interest in him.
Right.
If he became a successful model, would that have satisfied his needs, you think?
No. And so there's something very, very creepy about him, and it didn't come until later when they found his mother.
Mm-hmm.
There was a picture on the wall of his mother and her son, and he is holding his mother's face by her jaw, by her chin.
Mm-hmm.
He is abusive, he is controlling, he is manipulative, and he was controlling mm-hmm. his mother from a very young age. And There's no saving a person like that.
Right.
There's none. It was, he's sick. I mean, dementedly sick. So him getting a contract, a modeling, no. It all would have, still would have gone on.
You think that, I could see that. Like if maybe in the beginning it would have been enough to satisfy this need for attention, but... You know, just like any model, they could kind of run out of their time and he would have had to do more and more and more to become satisfied.
Right. I agree with that. And he would have had to have found someone to abuse because he found satisfaction and power.
Yeah.
That's part of the reason of killing, because there's power involved.
Now, you brought up his mom, and that's something that I had written. I have blind faith of his mother, come on, was the note that I had written down. So his mother doesn't believe that he did this or that he acted alone.
Right.
Do you think he did?
Oh, yeah.
So in one of the videos, it shows somebody else's hand.
Yes, and that was kind of weird, right? So they showed the other hand. And I was like, all right, so everyone's thinking it's this third person. But at the end, when they explained who this Manny character was, it did make sense because they couldn't pinpoint this person back to anyone. No one had ever seen this man. And then I thought about it. I was like, well, I told Dion, I said, look, because he watched it with me. I'm like, well, what makes you think that hand wasn't his human victim and he just didn't release the video until different points? That hand, when he's playing with the kittens, could have been another boyfriend or a lover or something.
Could have been anybody, yeah.
It could have been anybody. And he did the videos at different times and released them. He didn't just take the video and fucking release it. He could have had the videos and decided when to release
right.
it. It doesn't tell you when the video was created.
Right.
It could have been his mother's hand.
How did they capture, how did they end up finding him?
So, well, let's talk about, they talked about how they were like, oh my God, this guy's going to end up killing someone.
Right, because it kept escalating.
Right. And then he eventually ended up killing someone on a video and then fucking aired it. And that's then when people started.
Yeah, that's when the police started to pay attention.
Right. And they still ignored this group saying, hey, we have all this information on him. We know where he is. We tracked him down, right, to all these different places.
They were able to take a picture of him standing on a balcony and pinpoint the location of where that was through Google Maps and looking at the gas station across the street, which, listen, I don't know if you've ever online stalked somebody,
no.
But I've done that shit. You can absolutely go to Google Maps and then do a full 360 and see what's around those buildings.
Oh, you sure? Absolutely can do that.
Yeah. So they had way more information than the police did.
Yep.
This online sleuthing group.
And I hate the fact, and I get the police's point, but they went to the police prior to the murder. And said, hey, got a problem. This is a threat. And I guess because it was all circumstantial, they didn't even look into it. And it's kind of fucked up. You know, they could have at least tried.
Well, yeah, but it reminds me very much of the fact that, so a man is beating his wife, right? And you can keep saying, like, you guys have to arrest him. He's going to kill her. He's going to kill her. And they don't do anything until he's killed her, you know, or.
Because she keeps going back.
Right, but still, you know, that happens in, like, almost everything where the rest of the world can see, like, this is going to escalate to something more. And the police and detectives, they're all known because of laws, and there's certain things that they can't step into where maybe this is just animal cruelty, but there's a lot of other things they need to work on, and y'all need to get a fucking life, and he hasn't hurt anybody yet.
Right, yet. And that's the other thing that I found very interesting. He went from animals to a full grown man.
Well, always.
Not always. A lot of serial killers, once they pass the animal stage, they tend to focus either on women or children before they go attack a full-grown man.
No, so I disagree with that. Most serial killers, and I actually have that written here down, it's cats or animals, children, elderly, or gays.
Okay.
Because not to say this horribly, but in their minds, especially in the 70s, 80s, 60s, a lot of gay men were murdered because they think people don't care about them.
Right.
Your lifestyle got you in these choices. Same thing with prostitutes. A prostitute is probably as equal to a gay man or an elderly person because not because that they're weak and that they can't overtake. It's because nobody cares when they die. Right. A prostitute's found in the dumpster. Well, she should have made some better life choices. Right. That's why a lot of serial killers kill prostitutes, gay men, elderly, or young children.
Right, and he solicited him for sex on a Craigslist ad, so...
Right. Right, so then it becomes, well, you know, this is just a gay man that got killed because he responded to an ad in a paper, not the fact that there's somebody hunting him.
Right.
He was hunted.
Yes, he was chosen specifically.
Right.
And also, if the guy that he did end up killing wasn't very strong... He looked mm-hmm. to be very thin and pretty weak.
Right. And they talked about that, too, on Brilliant Idiots, not in regards to a murder, but the fact that a lot of men will beat up on gay men because they assume right. that they're weak. And that sometimes they forget that they're still fucking men.
They're still men, and they can come back and kick your ass.
Right. But they do see that they think that men in general look at gay men the same as they would a child or a woman or an elderly person, that they are weak.
Right.
Which then makes them prey.
Correct.
Yeah. So now he murders this man.
Yep. And then airs it on.
Chops him up.
Yes. Chops him up, which is very gruesome.
So gross. Where was his fucking mother? He didn't live with his mom, right?
No, he left when he was 16 or 17.
Yeah. So now he's chopping up bodies and mailing it to people.
And he, not just people. He mailed a foot to the Conservative Party, and then he mailed the hand to the Liberal Party. Now, mind you, this was happening in Canada.
Right.
Not in the United States. And so I was like, why a hand? And why a foot to these particular parties? I was like, I was waiting for like some political statement to show up.
Right.
I really was. I was like, this is just, there's weird. Because if he is a serial killer and now he's sending messages, what's the message?
Right.
Why are
I think the message is more, hey, I've done these things already and there's not so much of a public outrage. Pay attention.
Right. Maybe.
I don't think that it was as deep as, all right, well, what do these body parts represent as much as, because he sent one to a school too, right?
Mm-mm.
I thought, my dog's about to break down the fucking door. Holy fuck. He mailed somebody, I thought he mailed one to a school or a church of some sort, or maybe.
I thought it was just the... The foot and the hand to the political parties.
Oh. Yeah, so, but he, you know, he basically was just screaming like, hey, all right, so I'm on the police's radar, but this will get me...
National.
On everybody's radar.
Right. And the lady who, the French police who was investigating it, she was like, this was horrific, the worst she's ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he stuffed the body or the torso, and he took the head. They never found the head.
I know. Where do you think that head is? Do you think they'll ever find it?
Probably not.
I think about that all the time. Like when you're driving past woods and stuff, there's probably dead bodies everywhere.
Oh, I'm sure.
The Hudson River has got to be filled with them.
Yes, I bet there is. Because you can't see shit in the Hudson.
Plus, it shows it in movies that it was just known through the 70s and 80s They were just fucking dumping bodies into this river.
Yeah. That's a dirty river. You don't want to go in that river.
Don't eat crabs from them. You know the crabs are eating off somebody's intestines?
Yeah. The sea life will devour them.
Yeah. Make your sound. Nom, 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 nom. That's nom, what they're doing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yum, 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 yum.
So they finally do get him, right?
Right. And they finally get him, and when he goes in to the prison, you know, now he's playing victim. Like, oh, this guy Manny made me do it, and I was fearing for my life, and all this sort of stuff. And I was like, excuse me? Wait, 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 wait. You're not fearing for your life, because after you chopped up that body, you went downstairs based off of the timeline, the video surveillance, and you fucking flipped your hair and looked at yourself in the mirror.
Yeah.
That is not the reaction of someone who is fearing for his life and has to kill somebody.
Right. Right, yeah.
So I was like, no, that's why I didn't believe the whole Manny character. And let me tell you what, this guy was so precise that he created this character a year and a half before he actually committed the murder.
He had put so much thought into it that he had created this whole lie and started to line up the lie a year beforehand.
Right. So he knew he was going to kill somebody.
Right.
Which makes me think, I'm like, well, so he's very meticulous about it. It's very thought out. It's well planned. And then it's like, I don't know. It was like he wanted to be caught.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why would you let yourself get caught?
Right.
You know, the point is to get away with it.
Wait, because he needed that. Yeah, well, but I think the point wasn't for him to get away with it. The point for him was to be famous, to have a name like Jeffrey Dahmer or, you know, those top killers. He didn't want to just be he'd be pissed that I don't remember his name. That's not the point. He wouldn't want the documentary to be named Don't Fuck with Cats. He wants it to be Don't Fuck with So-and-so, right? The fact that he's only known as the guy that did this and not his actual name, he wanted to be famous.
And you know what? I'm going to say this. Even after watching that documentary, I didn't remember his name until I looked it up after writing it down. So fuck you. I still don't remember who the hell you are.
Right. Which that would drive him more insane.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And the fact that he's forgettable.
He is. He is forgettable.
So let me ask you about his mom.
Okay.
Do you think that parents that... So she doesn't believe he did it alone. She thinks that the online sleuthing people helped get him in trouble and that they're to blame. Do you think that this is just pure denial, or that she's created this wall to protect herself because she's not willing to take the blame for maybe something that she created? She created this human, right? Did she? And then I could think as a mother that I'd be worrying, you know, what did I do wrong? Did I make him like this? Is he just like this? It's, you know, nature versus nurture, right?
Right.
So do you think that parents that do that, are they just fucking in denial? Or is this a self-protection mode?
I think the denial could be the self-protection mode. Like, my son really didn't do this. He was manipulated by somebody else, because my son is a good son. He's a good person. No matter what's going on behind closed doors, she did not look to be extremely stable herself. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's a mental illness that follows in the family.
Right.
And it got mixed in. There was no father.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying, you know, fatherless households create murderers, but we don't know what happened to him as a child.
Right.
Right. And it could have just honestly been that he was born a sicko and he grew up and he went out into the world and did what he was going to do. Because how old was he when this happened? I mean, I don't think they said, but for a younger male to plan this out.
In his early 20s, he wasn't, you know, a 30-year-old man at this point, 40-year-old man. He was in his early 20s.
Right. So let's look at someone like Ethan, who is a normal teenage going into mm-hmm. his 20s. Can you imagine him planning something out a year and a half?
No way.
Exactly. So something is not mentally stable with him.
Mm-hmm. So do you think she blames herself for that? Or do you think she really thinks he didn't do anything?
I don't know. I don't know her. I don't know any background. Yeah. I mean, as a mother, you want to protect your child and deny all the bad stuff.
Yeah. I think that as a parent, you don't want to accept that you could have had a part in this, right? That you, if he's fucked up and because he's so young, it has to be something that she did is what she would think, right? Rather than mm-hmm. people just thinking that some people are just born fucked up.
Right. Or she could have honestly thought, I didn't do anything. I saw the signs.
Right. I saw it, but did nothing. Right.
And then I allowed him to overpower me.
Right. Right. Because I guarantee, say if he's acquitted of something, right? There's something in the case that goes back. She's not going to say, come live with me, you little cat killer.
She might.
I doubt she will. I think in this video that she will say, my son is innocent. My son is innocent. I truly believe deep down, she probably knows her son fucking did it. And so when they're like, here you go, ma'am, take your healthy son back. She's going to be like,
not so much.
I actually don't have room for him. And he might kill me.
He could very well.
Right. That she might be saying on TV, oh yeah, I love my son. I stand by him. That's really easy to say when his ass is in prison. Let's give him back to you.
Right. And not when he's standing at your front door.
Right. Right.
So what did you think about the correlation between the murder and his favorite movie, Basic Instinct?
I think it's normal. I think people that are mentally unstable, the same way that maybe I connect to songs and movies and whatever it might be, you're looking for this connection to something, right? And you find heroes in something.
Right.
And so when you are fucked up in the head, you connect to the weirdest things. And he was inspired by that movie.
Wrote down, he was rejected as an actor. I said, but this was the best performance of his life. I mean, it definitely was a performance.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and he got to be in control of it, which is another thing. He wanted the control. He wanted the popularity. He wanted the notoriety. And he got to control everything.
Exactly. And he had people chasing him and searching after him. And even before that online, he had people adoring him for fake photos.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. I would like it noted that I did shut my door and try to keep my dogs out. But that Big Bang was uh-huh. actually my fat ass 70-pound dog jumping up on the door. And now that I look to my left, he is asleep mm-hmm. next to me. So he was successful in opening a door. He has no fucking thumbs.
Yeah.
I even thought, I was like, I don't need to lock it. Nobody's going to be home.
And he's like, nope, watch this. Mama, you are not keeping me out.
I just looked to my left and he's there. I was like, what the fuck? He actually.
I knew he was there before you did because I heard him snoring.
Yeah. He fucking opened a door.
Yeah. Maverick opens doors too.
That's amazing. Yeah, but he's short and fat.
Who? Maverick?
No, Link.
Oh, Link. Yeah.
Yeah. That's my little man.
I believe. Okay. No fat shaming Link. He's so cute. I won't wink.
I know. What did you think about the very end line that, well, first of all, I wrote that if I'm murdered, I would like you guys to reach out to John Green and Deanna to solve my murders. I don't have the best faith in Duval County Sheriff.
No.
So I would like you guys to create some type of sleuthing forum.
That would be great.
I don't want you to share the contents of my cell phone with anybody. Because then they'll realize what a sick fuck I am and maybe not want to solve my murder. But I would like John Green and Deanna to solve my murders because they fucking did a great job.
Didn't they? They were fucking on it. And I mean, crazy.
But Deanna said something at the end. Do you have that quote?
She asked, did the group create this monster? Did they feed the monster? And then she also asked, were they pawns in the whole thing? Like, did he do this to create, mm-hmm. and she was just a pawn to find him.
Yeah, did she play his game?
Right. And my answer was, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You played right into it.
I agree.
Absolutely. You fucking played into it. He did something that sparked an emotion. You took 2 years of your life finding this guy out of an emotional reaction. Now, granted, mm-hmm. how you found him and you took it back from, you use logic, right? And your analysts to find him, but it was all stemmed from an emotional reaction.
Right.
And that's what he needed.
Right. And do you think that if Deanna and her crew had watched the original video, given mm-hmm. it a thumbs down and moved on from it?
So I don't know, because if nobody responded to that video whatsoever, would he have just produced an even worse video of the cats? Because he was, even right. with the group following him and trying to track him down, he still progressed.
Right.
So at some point he knew a human, maybe not Deanna or John Green, but somebody was going to react.
Right. Yeah, I think that even if they would have ignored the first one, like you said, he would have kept escalating until something, because he needed to feed his narcissistic needs.
Correct. And
we were, as the public, we were going to give it to him in some view. In my case, it wouldn't have happened with the cats. It would have happened when he started targeting humans.
And it did, right.
According to Bob from The Price is Right, we have an overpopulated cat population. I mean, those kittens, that came from unsafe sex. The kittens wouldn't have bothered me as much as when he started going after humans. So at some point, we still would have fed his needs. I would have at one point.
So what the benefit, though, was because they started when he killed the cats, they had more information on him than when they had started when he had started with the humans. And I really wonder what would the initial reaction be if the first one was just a human as to opposed to cats.
Right.
Because these little poor little kitties, they're so helpless. And then you see the boy and you could justify it.
Right. Well, I think what would have happened is, because he was pretty messy with killing the human, right? They would have, the police would have solved that murder. But with the cats, these people online who obviously care about cats, it's rule zero.
Mm-hmm.
They knew, the police department's not going to do anything about it.
Well, wait, they probably would not have solved that murder if it hadn't been for this group, because the guy had no hands, he had no feet, he had no head. He had put all of Luca's stuff in there. They thought that was the victim.
Right.
Not the murderer.
Right. So they, you know, the cats were necessary, and to have the group of people outside of me that would have cared about the cats, they were needed to solve this murder. Right.
And he knew that.
Right.
He knew it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the ending is what he wanted. He always wanted to get caught. He always wanted his picture to be everywhere. He wanted to be known for what it was. He was smiling when he was arrested.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted this ending.
He did. And he played it, even at the end when he was in the interrogation room, he played Sharon Stone,
mm-hmm.
asked for the cigarette. He crossed his legs.
So weird. Yeah.
He was Sharon Stone.
Yeah. Weird.
It is. It's crazy.
Absolutely weird. Well, you guys should go watch it. It's on Netflix. It's called Don't Fuck with Cats. We watched it this year on Christmas Eve. It was our, while I was cooking dinner, it was our family Christmas Eve movie that we were watching.
Oh, okay.
So warm and fuzzy.
Not really.
Yeah, I know. So anything else on that before we move on?
No, I think it was good. Other than, and I know you disagreed with this at the end, she talked about his whole goal was to capture people's attention. And we just watched a fucking 3-hour documentary.
Right.
About him, giving him the attention. And she was like, now get off the fucking internet, right?
Right.
you know?
Yeah, I didn't like that she was trying to put it back on us for doing it. You know, are we feeding into him? Sweetie, you put 2 years of your life into it. You fed in and you played the game.
Oh, yeah, she did.
I'm watching the results of you playing this game. Yeah, I didn't like that part of it.
The documentary was still feeding into his game. She didn't tell Netflix no.
Right. Yeah. I think the documentary, the best thing they did was they didn't name it after him. They didn't do anything like that.
Right.
It's called Don't Fuck with Cats.
Right. Because in the end, you fucked with cats and you got fucked.
Right. Yeah, for sure. For sure. So anything else we have for today? I think we're wrapping it up.
I think we are wrapping it up.
I know. I have on here that the president was not impeached, right?
Yes, that's correct.
He was impeached by the House originally and then not impeached by the Senate, which then means nothing's going to happen. So if you have spent every day of your life on this for the last how many months, you've wasted your time on both parties.
So he's still impeached.
Yeah, he's still impeached, but he's...
But he'll always be impeached, but he did not get removed right from office.
Which we all knew was going to happen because... One house is represented by the Democrats. The other has a majority of the other. They're not going to vote against each other. The one person that did is now fucking blacklisted. And you've literally wasted your time if you've invested hours of your life into this hearing. The other thing is obviously the Democratic race is still going on where they're still trying to find whoever's going to... I don't pay attention to any of that until they have a winner.
No, exactly.
Once they've figured that out, well, great. Then I'll look into that person. Until then, don't care. I know the Iowa caucus was a shit show.
Oh, my God. It was so fucking hilarious. You know what the really bad part is, though? So all they had to do was count votes.
I know. Well, shit, don't. Let's be very sensitive about that because there's only one state that fucked that up before, and it'd be the state of Florida that messed up the... Right.
Hey, I'm just saying, if college sorority girls can count fucking numbers from recruitment at midnight during the week, because numbers have to be in right then and there, there's no reason our fucking state and federal representatives of grown men and women can't fucking count numbers. Sorry.
Right. I mean, look, the state of Florida fucked it up years ago. That is always the running joke of how Florida fucked up the presidential election by messing up the numbers. You got to count. And guess what? You have computers that do most of it. Get it right.
They had computers in Iowa.
Right. Right. Get it right, yes. Guys. Get it right. The other thing is, of course, Nancy Pelosi ripping up the president's speech, his address to the union. I thought Dion and I just chatted quickly over dinner. Mm-hmm. Just very immature. Grow the fuck up.
Yeah.
I don't care what side of the party you're on. Grow up. Go back to your office and throw it away. And I worked at a company before where we had a picture of somebody we didn't like on the wall and we would all like throw darts at them. You can do that secretly in your office. You don't have to do it on social media and on the fucking news. Grow up.
Exactly. And I don't want to fucking hear out of your mouth.
Right.
We're taking the high road, and then you act like an immature fucking toddler.
Right.
So, right. No.
Yeah.
It's pretty ridiculous, and there are a lot of things that happened in that speech that I was not very happy with, but I won't go into it because I don't want to get super political.
Well, maybe we'll save that for my poop-throwing story. Oh, God, I'm giving out tips or little hints.
Dude, you're not supposed to say anything. You don't have a confidentiality agreement.
I'm going to have to get the NDA signed. Get that paper. That's a line from T-Pain, by the way. I can't help it. So we will save that for next week, and we will talk to everybody later.
Sounds great. So everybody, if you have any rants, comments, concerns, or questions, shoot us an email at notasafespacepodcast@gmail.com. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. So come and follow us there. Bye, guys.
Bye.